Hey, he's coming down the window and through your chimney. You know, Santa Claus. You imagine if Jimmy Stewart played Santa Claus, he wouldn't come in through your chimney. He'd come in through the window, right off the rough into the window.
He'd at least knock on the door first.
Oh yeah, he'd make sure it's okay and. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
The ghosts of New Year's yet to come. What?
I have a confession. I think The Christmas Story is an overrated, overtold bundle of malarkey.
The Christmas Story?
Christmas Chronicles.
Christmas Chronicles?
No.
Make up your mind here.
Christmas
Carol?
Christmas Carol.
There's only one true Christmas Carol to watch, and that's the Muppets Christmas Carol. That's what I do every year.
It's an overtold story, and I think it's fairly boring. And, yeah.
So I gotta watch with the Muppets and Michael Caine.
I always end up watching Jim Carrey's and sitting there going, this is terrifying. Like, why is this There's a scene, the scene with Marley when the ghost comes in.
Yeah.
It is like legit awful. There's a part that I'm sure Bobby Zemeckis, because we're friends, was planning on like, oh, this will be funny. And I could imagine giving nightmares. Like if I was a child, like Marley's jaw. I don't know if have you ever seen that white version.
It's been a long time, but yeah, doesn't it fall off?
Yeah, it falls off, and he like uses, he grabs the top of his head and the bottom of his jaw, and he like makes himself talk. His like jaw's literally falling off. I'm like, this is terrifying.
It is spooky.
And then he looks out the window, and there's all these ghosts and dead people, and then one turns and like rushes them, yelling. I'm like, this is a horror movie. I'd sooner watch Nightmare Before Christmas.
That's why you skip all that other crap and you just watch the Muppets one.
That's why you skip all that other crap and you focus on golf.
Yeah. That's all you need.
Yeah, but no, joining me over there, the ghosts of New Year's yet to come, Gus, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory. And happy New Year to you all. In true New Year's fashion, we do not have a movie per se for this week. However, what we do here on the podcast is every week we take a film, we watch said film, we then take the pod to discuss said film, what we liked about it, what we didn't, what worked, what didn't. We then submit that movie to the factory. That's where we take the film we just watched, and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose it? Who would star? Same movie, same story, just modern booking. What would it look like with today's cast of characters out there? However, today we do not have a movie, as I said, per se, because it is a New Year's show, and in true New Year's fashion, we intend to do a somewhat year in review, looking at, you know, how our holiday went, but then also talking about, you know, things we got into this year of 2020 in the quarantine, and discussing high points and also talking about what we look forward to in the new year of 2021, maybe talk a little resolutions to come. So with that being said, how did our holiday go? How was your Christmas?
Christmas was fine and dandy, other than one of these years I won't be hungover on Christmas Day. One of them. We'll find it.
You were hungover.
Yeah, I was.
I didn't know that.
It was miserable. Your damn day.
Your mother shaves her upper lip?
A sphincter says what? And,
you want me to say what?
we are very little. You very big. It was a good holiday. Good to come home and visit and eat good food and have all those festivities. But I think the highlight was, especially for purposes of our podcast, you and I got to sit down and watch the first movie together since March.
Yeah, what was the last one we watched?
It was Die Another Day, if I recall.
Oh, that's a sad, sad world.
Because we were gearing up for No Time to Die, which was
going to come out. Yeah, that was right at the beginning of, because quarantine started, and I think that was right before. That had to be just right before, right?
Yeah, I mean,
because as soon as quarantine started, we pretty much locked each other down.
Yeah, No Time to Die was going to come out early April, so this had to have been late March. That's right around when it all went down.
Yeah, that was funny because we watched Godzilla vs. Destroyer, and I had been in a big Godzilla mood, and you're always in a big Godzilla mood.
Hell yeah!
And it was you mentioned. I mean, we were both. It was funny. It was a nostalgic watch to a degree because it reminded me. I don't know if you got the same feel, but it reminded me of when we were younger. Because, you know, when we would watch podcast or movies for the podcast, it was very much business. We were sitting there, we were watching the movie, we were, like, ready to dissect it, talking about what we liked, talking through it. Whereas this one, we did the same thing. We weren't reviewing the film by any sense of the means, but we're sitting there, and we were, like, both just enjoying the movie, but also, like, falling asleep as we were watching it. And that's why I mean, like, it was more relaxed, because both of us fell asleep, like, four times during that movie. But we kept talking. Like, I'd fall asleep, and I'd hear you go, like, you know, I don't remember some of these moves he does. I'm like, yeah. And I woke back up, and same for you a couple times. So it just reminded me of a younger viewing. But yeah, we watched Godzilla vs. Destroyer, and you said, when's the last time we sat down and watched a Godzilla movie? And I said, a very, very long time.
Yeah,
I corrected you. How?
You corrected me by saying, like, for the podcast, we did Godzilla 1998. I'm like, oh, fuck you. That's not what I meant. Yeah, it had to have been a very long time. I'm assuming it had to have been like 2005.
Maybe
before. I doubt before, but
I'm sure there was a time where you were like watching one and I was in the area. But not sitting down and just watching. And then, well, that I countered that or continued on with that, saying this is the first time we've watched a movie in months, period. Because for the podcast, we've been watching them separately. And to a degree, yes. I feel like that has not negatively impacted the podcast by any sense of the means. But I do feel like our shows are stronger when we are sitting there watching the movie together. Because there's a lot of things we would say during the movie or discussed during the movie, and that would come up in the show. Right. Whereas this is a little more difficult to do because we're not really diving into it together at the same time.
Right. Yeah, I agree. A lot of the time we'd watch a movie and like spur of the moment, a joke would come up or whatever. And we would reuse that line later in the show, you know, we'd record. But doing it separate has been a little tricky for our structure, but also there's like positives and negatives. That would be a negative, but a positive would be like, hey, let's do this movie this week. You have a week to find a day to watch it.
Yeah.
You know, that, so it's been a little convenient.
And recording, I mean, recording online, there were times back when we first started where it was like, hey, what day works best for you? This day. It doesn't work for me. And then it was just like, oh, well, I guess we'll do a story time with Gus, or I guess we'll have to not do an episode this week or something like that. And granted, we did have a couple, we have had a little bit of a hiatus here, but due to the holidays, due to you being in schoolio and things like that, it's been busy. But this has kind of opened the doors to be able to fill in those gaps if need be, and record a show. Even me, like I did a story time, albeit the audio sucks in that one because I didn't know how to record yet. But being able for me to record one without going to your fancy studio over there and recording, that's been a positive coming out of it, is figuring out how to record it remotely if need be.
Right. Yeah, so that's been an interesting thing for this year. And, you know, who knows, or this past year, rather. This coming year, will we get back to recording in person? Maybe. We'll see what the world's like when it comes down to it. But for the time being, this has worked, especially finding new programs that like help even out our audio levels and things like that. It makes it more listenable. I need to go back to some older episodes where the audio is really one-sided, because that happened several times where you're really loud and I'm super quiet and that's just what it was. Or I had a guest on one episode, it was Dream, and I had actor John Rose appear in our episode. And what was I going to say? Oh, I just had him on speakerphone, like pumping it into a microphone, and the audio sucks. So maybe
even my story time, like I said, where it was like I'd be talking, I'd be like, yeah, and it was like, and we just rolled with it. Like, yeah, we need an episode this week.
Yeah. So that'll happen, and that'll probably happen in the future. But thanks for sticking with us, old spit listeners.
Indeed.
The few, the proud.
The spit listeners.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's been an interesting year, and you know, there's been a lot of positives, and you know, my life kind of kept rolling because my job wasn't really affected by quarantine and things of that nature. I'd say the biggest thing that came out of this year for both of us, probably in terms of personal lives, or not personal lives, hobbies, I'll say, has been collecting video games, probably to a degree in a negative light, very positive negative light. We have spent a lot of money obtaining collectibles and things from our past, and that's probably, I'd say, the biggest hobby change. What got us? Was it watching Scott the Waz that kicked us off?
It might have been,
on that honestly. Trend. That's where I started.
Yeah, it might have been for me too. I'm not too sure. I couldn't even tell you what was the first item. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start collecting video game systems. I don't even remember the day. It just kind of happened. I mean,
we kind of got into it at the same time. We were just like, I'm going to do this. And you're like, you know what? Like, we're going to do that.
I bet I could point it out. So you just mentioned that your life hasn't really changed much with this whole quarantine thing going on, because you're basically sitting at home all the time. Anywho, me, I got laid off work. So for the first time since really I was in like high school, college, I was without a consistent job, probably college. And it felt weird. So I personally definitely got into hobbies. It started with woodworking. Like, I was like building stuff. I was trying to build an arcade cabinet. That project's still unfinished, but
partially my fault.
Things like that. And then it kind of fell into video game collecting, and it really started with you wanted a PSP.
Yes.
And my roommate had his old one, and he gave it to you. And then we had, my PS3 broke and we wanted to get it fixed. So you started buying old PS3s so you could attempt to repair it.
I did. And somewhat fix it.
Sort of.
It stays on now.
It just kind of snowballed from there. Like, oh, you can buy old systems for pretty cheap online. And this was helpful because, hey, I just said I got laid off. I didn't have a job anymore. I didn't have any money. So,
better way to make money than to spend money.
That's my motto. And I spent money like I didn't have to worry about it, because I pretend like I didn't. And I ended up collecting a lot of stuff. Like, it's to the point now that people are like, hey, you got any got any like old school Nintendo, like NES 1985 systems? I'm like, yeah, I got four of them. Like, why do you have four? I'm like, I don't know.
I saw it for cheap one day and I wanted it.
It's usually people just give it to me. Like, I think you already know, but tell me, how many GameCubes do I have?
You have four, do you not? Five? Four?
I have five.
Five
of them. Why? I don't know. Just do.
I mean, I have.
So that's kind of.
I have two Wiis, but only one works.
And you know, what was my big driving force was when you're younger and you're into video games. If you want a new one, you kind of have to trade in your old ones because you don't have any source income.
Indeed.
So you trade in games to buy games. So I kind of made it my mission to reclaim any video game that I had done that with or that you had done that with. And I'm almost back to every game that we had ever traded in have come back into my person. So that's been comforting.
Yeah, because like mine, with that like PSP, like you got old roommate Matt to give me his old PSP, and then I went out and immediately picked up what is it here? Seven PSP games that day. Six, because he gave me one, but I went out and I grabbed Patapon, which was a game I got for my birthday 1 year. Patapon, Star Wars, Battlefront, Renegade Squadron, a game I borrowed from friends constantly but never owned. Loco Roco, a game I always wanted. I just grabbed a Final Fantasy. It's the city as Final Fantasy fighting game because it was in a nice sleeve and a case. But Crisis Core Final Fantasy, the sequel to Final Fantasy VII. Always wanted that game, but I never played Final Fantasy VII, so I never got it. But then the most unique buy of that was a game called Frantix, which is not a popular game. It's not even well reviewed. It's developed by a game called Killer Game. Never heard of them? Exactly. It was a game. It's a puzzle game. I remember seeing it in a GamePro, and I really wanted it for Christmas. I don't know why. I just really wanted it for Christmas. I remember being very high on my list. It was the year I got my PSP, and instead, I got Midnight Club Dub Edition, which I loved. I got Twisted Metal, which I loved, and I got Need for Speed, and I remember not playing Need for Speed because Midnight Club Dub Edition was pretty close to the same game, and Need for Speed was very difficult. And I never got Frantix, so that was like a nostalgia buy of a game that I knew I'd probably never play, but it was a game I wanted and never got. So that kind of, yeah, like you said, we had these goals in mind to get old games that we owned, and it just snowballed. Even like my PS2 collection, I asked my friend, my childhood friend Antonio, if I could have some of his old PS2 games that we grew up playing, such as like Area 51, which was the first game I ever beat, which he owned and I borrowed from him, or like Star Wars Battlefront, which we never owned. We owned Battlefront 2, but never the original Battlefront, and I always wanted that. And so, yeah, I definitely snowballed from there into my Persona collection, which has become very impressive. I think, anyways, my gigantic Persona collection, and most recently my Fire Emblem collection.
Indeed.
Did you see what I bought? Those protectors.
The protectors.
I texted you yesterday. And I said, check the Amazon. I just picked something up. Got to keep it safe. I bought basically the same Steelbook protectors, but for like GameCube cases.
You know what? I looked at this last night, New Year's Eve, probably at 1 in the morning when I was good and splashed. And I remember opening it, looking, and I'm like, oh, he got that Fire Emblem game.
Yes.
Radiant Dawn or something. But that was not the case.
No.
Instead, you got a case.
Yeah, I got this like plastic protectors to keep around it. So yeah, no, we just I'd say that's been our biggest thing because we've always been collectors. We kind of started back with Funkos. We've collected things before that. You kind of had a thing for collecting movies and then whatnot. But definitely, I think this is a. I need more space. I do keep saying that. I need more space. I keep looking at my shelf. I I want to build a tall shelf.
It'll come.
Yeah.
It'll come.
Eventually. But, yeah, no, definitely that has been a big thing.
I hear a doggery.
I'm going to get her a treat. You keep going.
I will. So this year has been interesting in general. I know Ben here is going to want to talk about the video games he's dove into in the year 2020. I'll do the same. Usually I can tell you with confidence in 2019, I had not touched a video game, not one, all year long. And I think in 2018, I had played like two or three to completion. This year, I completed many, especially for me. So I completed 15 video games, which is a big deal for me. I love video games. I love the stories. I love the interactive nature of the worlds video games create. It's just a different form of art and storytelling, much like movies. And I mean, that's the nuts and bolts of our show here is movies, but it's really geek culture in general. So Ben says it all the time. He's more of a video game guy, more of a movie guy. And we'll get to some movies I got to see this year as well. But yes, 2020, there was a pandemic. There was a quarantine. A lot of things got shut down. So I did not get to go to the movies like I would typically do. I think if I look at the list, I only got to see 5 movies in the theater, new releases, in this whole year, which I think last year I saw like 30-some releases. So that's just a perspective of how I would spend my time. But this year, being at home and being, you know, everything else is kind of shut down, a lot of time to yourself, especially when, like for me, I was out of work. So I ended up beating 15 video games, and I'll just go through a quick list here. It really started off with a game Ben got me last year for Christmas, Yu-Gi-Oh! Legacy of the Duelist. It was a Yu-Gi-Oh! card video game. Sure.
Hard.
For the Switch. Yeah. And I kicked that game's ass. And then from there, I picked up a game I had started the year previous, which was Octopath Traveler. And really dove into that game, played the hell out of it, and beat it. Other games were Hyrule Warriors on the Wii U, Bayonetta, Doom. I'm talking the original 1993 Doom, Doom 2, Link's Awakening, Animal Crossings, Wind Waker, Castlevania, the original Legend of Zelda, Star Fox, Unraveled 2, Gears of War, Banjo-Kazooie, and I just thought of another one that I beat, so make it 16, and that was The Last Guardian.
Yuck.
So that is a yuck. So quite a bit for me, games I had gone through and beaten. I would say my highlights for me, I mean, a lot of these games are games I've played in the past, like Banjo-Kazooie or The Wind Waker, and just felt like replaying them. Wind Waker is my all-time favorite video game. But some highlights for me would be Octopath Traveler, the original Castlevania. It was cool to say I beat Legend of Zelda, the original. And Animal Crossings was special because it kind of came out during a time that people needed it most. It allowed for interaction and like simulating life in a fun Animal Crossings kind of way when that's like right when the shutdown happened.
Yeah.
But I would say Octopath Traveler was my favorite of all of them. Definitely the most time I ever put into a game to beat it. Castlevania was the hardest game I've ever beat in my life. And I'll go with those two as my favorites.
Favorites of 2020. I beat 18 games. I think I'm teetering on 19 because, as you said, Wind Waker, I was like, wait a minute. I beat Wind Waker fairly recently. But I believe, if I recall, I had started it in December and then beat it in January, so I didn't count it on my top 2020 list, considering. But I beat 18 games in total, and this was something I was trying to do. I was trying to beat the most games I've ever beaten in a year, and was it? I don't know. This is the first time I've ever actually recorded my games beaten. The issue when I play games, as you know, and as maybe some other people know, is when I play games, the games I play aren't exactly short. Something that I do with my list in general, because I do keep an all times list as well as a I keep a greatest games all time list as well as the yearly list, is games that you can't necessarily beat. I usually register it as if I've put 100 hours or more. If it's just like a multiplayer-only game, 100 hours or more means that I beat it. I've put enough time into it to know, you know, what exactly. Mm-hmm. You could argue before that, there, you know, 50 hours would be enough, but I usually like to say around 100 hours. And so the 18 games I beat, I actually listed, ranked them from my best game to my least favorite of the year. And I liked literally every game I played this year. There wasn't a game where I was like, that sucked. So we'll start with my the bottom of the list. Number 18 was Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, which was one of your favorite games of the year. Yes. But I think my reasoning behind that, I can honestly probably go back and find it in my favorite games all time list.
I think if I remember it, it was just the timing of it. You were like not in the mood for that kind of game. You've kind of felt obligated to play it and beat it, and you're trying to beat it before Animal Crossing came out because you knew you're gonna Persona sink 5. Your time into that. Was it Persona 5?
My listing has it comes in at number 33 on my all times list. It says this game fell victim to poor timing and placement in my backlog. It came out right before Persona 5 Royal. I played this game on the Game Boy as a kid and could never really get beyond the early stages of the game. Therefore, I was very excited when the remake was announced. But as I began playing it in early March, just after my brother had almost beaten it in a day, while I loved the story and graphics, this style of Zelda game has never truly resonated with me. The retracing steps, tracking things down, and finding clues, I put in parentheses, I know that is very dumb. This game had a lot of that, and I found myself looking up guides constantly, running in circles even more so than normal. While I did love the game, I found a lot of it a chore to get through. That was why it fell very low. Next was Pokemon Shield at 17. I very much so enjoyed that game. But at the end of the day, it's a Pokemon game, and they're meant for kids. I enjoy all the Pokemon games. I've played every single mainline version, but it was still, you know, wasn't anything new or fascinating. Animal Crossing at number 16. I know Gus will argue that, but at the end of the day, you know, I put my time in, put my 100 hours or so in, and then the game has sat. Much like many other games. There are many other Animal Crossing games in the past, so I can't really find myself labeling it as like one of my number ones of the year because I burned myself out on it within like a month. But it was a phenomenal game, and I even played it today. I checked in on my island and dicked around for 30 minutes or so, and then we'll not play it again for another month. Next, Resident Evil 4. This is a game that... It wasn't the first Resident Evil game I played, but it's the only one on the list because beat Resident Evil 5 when I was little and never really got much further than that. But B-movie style action and a charming mix of horror, it was a very fun game to play. And I played that early February. That was a lot of fun. Next was Valkyrie Chronicles. That was a game that's been on my backlog for a while. Sega. It's a weird like world fantasy World War II strategy game. It's got a really unique. It's called a Blitz system. It was a lot of fun, interesting, and true to form with the games I play. Story wise, this is one of the first games ever that I've played, and I found myself like shocked. Like there was a death in the game. And I remember, like, my mouth kind of dropping because it was late at night. And I'm like, no way. That character is gone. It was pretty intense. Next, 13, The Last of Us, overrated game. Nothing more to say. Fire Emblem Awakening at 12. Soccer Wars, that was a fun game I enjoyed. Persona Q, Shadows of the Labyrinth was an interesting one because that game took me forever to beat. I think it took me around 3 to 4 months to beat, which is rare nowadays because I've learned to chug through, but it coincided with the release of the PS5. Next, number 9 was God of War. I've been told to play it for many years, and God of War on the PS4 and PS5 came out and gave me the opportunity to play it, so I gave it a shot. Persona 3 Fez was the game of basically my summer. I played that through all of June, or late May, all of June, and beat it early July. The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt at number 7. Spider-Man Miles Morales, my second game on my PS5. Red Dead Redemption 2. Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice, which if you've never played that, highly recommend it. I beat that in a day. That is the first game I can think of in a long, long, long time that I've beaten in one single sitting. 7 hours it took me. Spider-Man Remastered, the PS4 game remastered for the PS5. At number 3. Number 2, Call of Duty Warzone. This game came out in March. Just Warzone itself. That's excluding, because I can actually track the time in Call of Duty multiplayer, like Modern Warfare multiplayer and Warzone. Hopefully, no, this doesn't ruin our audio or cause any noise, but let me see here. I've put a lot of time into Warzone, and I've put a lot of time into the multiplayer of Call of Duty Modern Warfare. So I put Warzone on here because it was the social experience of my quarantine. So I placed it up really, really high because I still play it. I'm probably going to play it tonight. And it was really what brought together a lot of me and my friends. But also, I met new friends. I had like 2 or 3 new friends that I met strictly by playing Warzone. They're friends of friends, but now it's like, just play with them.
What? You don't have any friends.
Oh, shit. Scared my dog.
Yuck.
And then number 1, Persona 5 Royal, as I load up the Warzone stuff, but Persona 5 Royal at number 1, because what a game that was. Obviously, Persona 5 is my favorite game of all time, so Persona 5 Royal being the same game definitely took the cake. I mean, that's above and beyond all of these games for me. I really enjoyed it to such an extent that I don't think any other game could touch it. It's almost upsetting to me. I actually posted it on the Persona Reddit the other day, asking, like, does it bother anyone that this game doesn't get any praise on Game of the Year? Because it was the highest-rated PlayStation 4 game, period, on Metacritic. And so I was like, it's not even in the conversation. And a lot of people were like, oh, I mean, you got to consider that it's a remake of Persona 5. It's not a straight remake. It's more of just a retell, like a new edition almost. But in terms of Warzone, getting back to that, the game came out in March, right? I have put my time into Warzone only, just playing the Battle Royale. I have put 200 and, let's see here.
Stop there. That's already too much.
Plus 19. I've put 235 hours and 48 minutes into it. 9 days, 19 hours and 48 minutes. I've played 889 games. My new friend that I met through Warzone that I play a lot with, he's put 19 days into the game. That shows what we're dealing with. But that's why, ultimately, while Persona 5 is definitely my favorite game, if I had to choose a game of my 2020, it probably would be Warzone, considering that it's a game that I played literally every single day. Now, there's been few days that I didn't find myself sending a game of Warzone at least once. So definitely a year of gaming it has been, and an enjoyable one at that.
But not a year for the movies, at least the movie industry. I was going to say I didn't watch a lot of movies this year, but that is not true. I watched maybe more movies in a single year than I ever have in my life. I watched, you know, we did the marathons. We did all the Marvel MCU movies. I watched all the James Bond movies twice this year. I've watched all the Godzilla movies. I'm working on those currently, but
did you have your tonsils removed twice?
You know, I spent most of my time watching older films, and I didn't watch many new releases this year. Like, didn't check out a lot of the things that were streamed out to us, like Mulan or Soul or Wonder Woman. I haven't checked anything like that out. And as far as like going to the theater goes, which is one which might be my favorite thing to do in the world, you know, just hasn't been safe to do that. And for most of this year it was shut down, but I did go a few times, and I'm looking at just the movies that came out this year. Starting at the top, I went and saw The Gentlemen. I went and saw Birds of Prey. I saw Sonic the Hedgehog, Invisible Man, and that's like when the shutdown happened.
Tenet.
Well, I'm just going through the year here.
Ah,
yep. I mean, the next thing I did see was Tenet in the theater, and I have seen Tenet 5 times in the theater. If you couldn't tell, I miss going to the movie theater. So once the theaters reopened and you could go see Tenet, I rushed out, went and saw Tenet. Kind of have mixed feelings on that movie. I think it's a spectacle. I think it's like a good time at the movies. Yes, it's a little confusing, a little hard to hear sometimes, but I really enjoyed it overall. Went and saw it, and then immediately, I think I had you go and see it with me. What was it, the following week? And I think you enjoyed it as well. And then I went 3 more times after that. So, and that might have been it as far as the theater goes. But I did see, where was it? I just saw it. So I did watch like Hubie Halloween, which I do enjoy quite a bit. And the new Bill and Ted film, Face the Music, that was good. But a movie I didn't mention on here, which happened earlier in the year, was the My Hero Academia Two Heroes film. That is my favorite movie I saw this year. It's one that made me feel the most. That and then Tenet probably close behind. But here's the real dilemma. And here's the question I'm going to ask you. 1917. That movie released December, Christmas last year, or in 2019.
We saw it in January.
Well, it released December 2019 in New York and LA, just so it could qualify for the Oscars. It expanded.
They should have waited. It would have won Best Picture this year.
It expanded to everywhere else in January, where like the public could go and see it, really. Yeah. So is it a 2019 movie or is it a 2020 movie?
For me, it's 2020 because that's just when I saw it. I mean, I'm not at the end of the day, you and I, technically. I mean, when you do go and see movies a lot. So your lists are like best of 2020 are going to be movies that you generally saw that year, not movies that you saw for like the first time. Whereas when I see movies, a lot of times or when I list anything, I do them like we did our video games, where it's games that we played this year, not games that came out this year. Because looking at like even my games list, I think there's like out of 19 or 18 games, I think there's like 3 games that came out this year. Like they're brand new games, you know? So I would say it's a 2020 movie, but that's just because that's when I saw
it. With that logic, I know you saw The Empire Strikes Back this year.
Yes.
For like a 40th anniversary release.
I would say first time viewings, though.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Like, what if it was someone's first time seeing Empire Strikes Back? You can't be like, this is my favorite movie of 2020. This movie that came out 40 years ago. Like, that doesn't count.
Why not? It's the best movie you saw.
Well, then the best movie I saw this year was fucking, I don't know.
Hubie Halloween.
Rocky.
I mean, that's just that's honest, though. That's the same, like, the same thing, like, you said one of your favorite video games this year was Castlevania. That game came out how many years ago? 30? 35?
33 years ago.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, and that's one of your favorite games out of 16 that you played?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, so it's the same idea. It's the same idea you just hit me with that movie. If it's the first movie they ever saw, and it's all dependent on how you're grading it. If you're a critic, you're into your best movies of 2020, is your list only movies that came out in 2020, or is your list movies that you saw? I was actually just listening to a podcast. IGN has a podcast called GameScoop, and they were doing their award show for one of the hosts, and it was every category was like best TV show that I watched this year. So, like, things like Schitt's Creek and Breaking Bad were on there because they were the first time he watched them. So I would say I personally do most of my lists that way because there are a lot of movies, even though I always tell people I didn't see this movie or I've never seen this. And they're like, what? You went over my helmet? But I always list them as movies that I saw this year for the first time or something along those lines because, yes, I did see Star Wars in theaters. But I mean, I also watched that two other times this year. So at the same time, but like Tenet was really the only movie that I saw in theaters that was like brand new, in 1917, I guess back in January. But other than that, I didn't see anything new other than streaming movies.
With that logic, then my favorite movie this year was Kung Pao, Enter the Fist.
Was it the first time you saw that movie?
It was my first time watching that movie in 2020, yes.
I didn't say in 2020. I said first time ever watching it, just in the year of 2020. Oh, no. I mean, it's like I said, it all boils down to your list. If you were asking me what's the best movie I saw this year in 2020, like it came out in 2020, it'd probably be 1917 if we're including that in as a 2020 film. If you're not including that as a 2020 film, it would probably be Tenet. Soul was really good, which I just watched the other week. And like even from there, I can't really think of anything new that I did watch. I didn't watch Mulan. I don't know of any other brand new movies I watched. I can guarantee the best thing that I did see this year was The Mandalorian, hands down. It's been a weird year, and you know what's crazy too though is like I've seen so many people say, "Oh, I can't wait for this year to be over. I can't wait for this year to be over." I've honestly felt, and I'm sure this is controversial, I felt it's gone very quick for me. Like, and I think it's for the opposite reason. Like most people look at it and they're like, "I can't wait for this to be over." Whereas like because it's just so prolonged and every day is like the same. Like wear your mask, do this. You can't go here. COVID again, this and that, like every day's kind of run together. It's felt very fast to me because everything's just congested together into the same mush of day-to-day life.
Yeah, that about sums it up.
Is that how it is for you too? Does it feel fast?
Yeah, this was a very, very quick year.
I think it was because it was all the same every day. It was just more of the same. You turn on the news, COVID.
Yeah. And then, for most people,
yeah, I don't want to.
I guess all we can do is for our perspective, yes.
Because yeah. I know there's many people that struggled with this year and had a very, very hard time. But like in retrospective, for me, it flew. Not in a positive way in any sense of the means. It just was a quick year.
This year flew for me until September when I went back to school, and it was a 3-month program, and I'm like, 3 months, that's going to be so fast. It was the slowest. It was the longest, most grueling, relentless 3 months I've ever experienced personally.
And it was funny because you were in that, and it was like I blinked, and you were done. I was like, he's done. All right. Yeah. You're like, I graduate next week. I'm like, oh, shit. I thought you were still going to be there in March.
No. It's fast for everyone else, but for me, like, yeah, I was in class roughly. I was on that computer at least 12 to 16 hours a day.
Yeah.
For 3 months, almost every day. I probably had like one, maybe 2 days off a week. It was very intense. But yeah, graduated and got a job out of it. So that was a highlight of my 2020, like changing the old career here, hopefully for the better. But yeah, so yeah, this year was very quick up until that point for moi.
Yeah. Well, then moving in as well, it's the first day of the year. And while many people have the sentiment that it's 2021, so everything's going to change, but you know, we're still in kind of the same situation. We do have some vaccines rolling about, but what's a resolution? What's a plan or goal you're setting this year? And then we'll wrap out the show here.
Well, I've never been good at the old resolutions. Last year, my resolution was to read 12 books. That seemed doable.
16 games instead.
Yeah. And watch like hundreds of movies. I ended up reading 7 books to completion last year.
7?
So. 7. Yeah. So I didn't quite make my resolution. My resolution for this year is to read 8 books. No, it's actually to lose 30 pounds.
Bring it.
I've started. I started last week.
You gonna buy Ring Fit?
Hell no. I'm gonna be buddying up with Jeff Cavalier, Athlete X. He's gonna kick my ass for a while.
Yeah, that's a similar goal to mine. Because I just wanna get back into like
shape.
Habitually, yeah, like being in good shape, just kind of working out, not even like hardcore working out, just because I'm in that stage. I don't know about you, but I'm in that stage of like post holiday, like I feel like garbage. I've eaten a lot of candy, a lot of junk, and I'm not done yet and still going. It's like Jesus, I need to stop. I was telling the wife last night. I'm like, she's like, you got to make another drink. I'm like, nah, I'm good. And she's like, you quitting for the night. I'm like, wife, I have drank every night for the past 5 days.
Like, for the past 5 years.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm good. I'm good tonight. I'm done.
I had a very 2020, quarantine sentence. I said to myself, it was Monday. No, not Monday. It was Tuesday. Tuesday, I was like, you know what? I'm trying to lose weight. I'm not going to drink tonight. I'm not going to have a beer. I'm not going to have nothing. And I did it. I went through that whole day. I just didn't drink. And then the next morning, I'm like, I'm not going to drink tonight either. But my thought that came to my head, I was like, that was the first night since March that I hadn't drank some alcohol.
Yeah.
I was like, good for you.
Good for you. Cigarette.
Yeah.
That'd probably be, I just want to get into better shape. I want to get back into, because I bought Ring Fit and I played it for like a week and it was kicking my ass and I was having a good time just using that as like a nice little subtle form of cardio every day. And then lifting, I have my weights. I just lifted weights on top of that. I just want to get back into it here. Stay a little healthy. But I do also hope and intend to beat my record there. I'm going to deem 2020, as we've been keeping track, I'm going to deem that as my record at 18 games. I'm going to try and beat that this year. I'm going to try and see what we can do. What are your thoughts on this? Because I'm playing Fire Emblem Path of Radiance, your wonderful gift to me, I am on chapter 10 or chapter 11, rather. There are 30 chapters, so about three, well, I'm about one third through the game, a third through the game. I was planning on labeling this as the first game I beat of 2021. However, I started it in 2020. Does it count? I'm going to be beating the majority of it in 2021.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that just harkens back to your conversation from earlier.
Yeah, I suppose. I was going to link it as that because I'm beating the majority of it in 2021, and it was when I beat it was in 2021. Sure. But yeah, no, so I'm gonna beat this, and then next up on the list is Radiant Dawn, the sequel, because I made a deal with a friend. And then, I mean, the sky's the limit from there. I got things like Ghost of Tsushima, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Jedi Fallen Order, Persona 5 Strikers, I just pre-ordered the other day. I have that on the docket. So Persona Q2, lots of games on the backlog here. Lots of games that are going to take me 50 to 100 hours to beat.
And you know, I'm going to say this, and this will help for future thoughts of your own. I started playing Hyrule Warriors in November. I'm not going to beat it until sometime in 2021. It's going to go down as a 2021 game that I beat because, let's say, I just did my 2020 game list that I beat. If I don't count that as a 2021 game that I beat, I was like, oh, I started in 2020. Like it's in obscurity.
Yeah.
It's in limbo.
Yeah. Cause I like on my best games of 2020 list, I do have like, I have my top games of 2021 section already set up, and I have number one, and then this says placeholder. So I think I'm just gonna close it out. I beat 18 games. I should retroactively go back and list how many hours it took me in each one. And like total out my hours, because I bet it's close to 1,000 hours.
Disgusting.
Drab. I mean, it's 200 between Persona 5 and Persona 3. Persona Q was a 3DS game, and it took me 62 hours to beat. That makes me want to hurl.
Too long.
Yeah, exactly. But indeed. Well, that will do it for me. Is it do it for you?
Hey, it was good for me. It was good for you. That's what I say for my sex life.
Cigarette. indeed. So if yeah, that does it for us here, everyone.
That about does it. We almost missed him.
Yeah. Hey, he's coming down the window and through your chimney. You know, Santa Claus. You imagine if Jimmy Stewart played Santa Claus, he wouldn't come in through your chimney. He'd come in through the window, right off the roof into the window.
He'd at least knock on the door first.
Oh yeah, he'd make sure it's okay. And you ever seen the movie Santa Slay? That's gonna be him. He'll come in and he'll chop you into bits. All right, you're gonna die. That's what he's gonna say to you.
Excuse me, is it okay if I come in?
Excuse me, leave a couple presents under the tree, pull you up, grab some cushion by the fire, and they're like, don't you have other children to visit tonight? Nah, here, sip on this, a little bit of brandy. It's like, sir, I'm 9. Yeah.
I'm going to chop you up a little bits here.
Yeah, here's a little brandy. Yeah, indeed. Well, if you liked what you heard, our little year in review there, be sure to check us out on Audioboom if you haven't already. That's our primary site. That's where we're posting the episodes to first, and subsequently they get shipped out everywhere else. So Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts, we're there. You can also find us on Twitter. We're at The Bros Movie Pod. That's where we're posting links to the show, GIFs, memes, things that Gus makes, etc., etc. And then you can find us over on Facebook.
Hey, go to Facebook in 2021 and type in The Brothers Movie Factory. You find us. Like us, share us, follow along as I like to post memes for what we're watching each and every week, as well as the links Ben mentioned a moment ago, like Audioboom, Spotify, Twitter, and that.
And so that is the show. We hope you enjoyed it. But until next week, brothers.
Brothers.
Brother.
Put your hand over your mouth.
It was on my nose.